This is Faster, a podcast by Flow Cycle. In each episode, we interview industry experts to educate you, challenge you, and even change the way you train so you become faster. When we're not creating this podcast, we're working on other ways to make you faster. At Flow, we design and manufacture some of the world's fastest cycling wheels that we sell consumer direct to keep more money in your pockets. As a special thank you for listening to Faster, we wanted to offer you 20% off your next purchase. Simply use coupon code PODCAST in all capital letters at checkout. Your purchase will also support our give back initiatives. 1% of all sales supports our Bike for a Kid program, where we provide bikes and helmets for kids in need. We also plant one tree for every wheel we ship as a thank you to our planet. Enjoy the show. Hey, welcome back to Faster. I'm your host, John Thornham, and today we're going to be talking about using tires as shocks, especially in the gravel world. It's no surprise that gravel bikes don't have shocks. Now, I touched on this in a previous episode when we talked about being out in San Marcos for the Belgian Waffle Ride and how shocks are not on gravel bikes, how they are on mountain bikes, but we can use tires as shocks on bikes. Now, I want to cover that in more detail today. I want to talk about some things around the idea of shocks and deformation and a number of different things so that we can cover why shocks from a tire perspective are sort of the best approach to managing absorption of vibration and shock versus sort of anything else that is on the bike. So if we think about deformation as a whole or absorbing shocks, there's a few things that we need to think about. There's a concept of rigidity, deformation, and then we want to talk about the idea of something called a spring coefficient. So a spring coefficient can be defined simply if you have two pieces, let's say you have a rubber band and you have a steel spring. Now, if you pull the rubber band and the spring with the same amount of force, the rubber band is going to stretch more. So it would have a lower spring coefficient. The one that is going to be on the steel side is going to be much more difficult to move, so it has a higher spring coefficient. Now, if you have something like a spring that is specifically designed, that could be like a coil spring, it could be a leaf spring, it could be a number of different things, you can get a pretty good spring. Now, other things still have something called deformation that happens. So deformation can be described in two ways. There's essentially elastic deformation. So if you think of let's say you have a paperclip in your hand and you unbend it and it's in your hands and you put a little bit of force on it, you can see it sort of change shape, but if you let it go, it goes back. So that's something called elastic deformation, meaning that it will move, but it goes back to its original state. Anytime you have something that is considered plastic deformation, then what you get is when you bend it, let's say you bend the paperclip with more force, it'll bend and then it stays in that shape. So paper clips are a good example because you can kind of bend them in any shape you want, but you can still see slight movement without creating that. So that's the difference between elastic and plastic deformation. So the other thing is rigidity. Certain materials are more rigid than others. Some are more supple. They flex more. And so we are sort of limited when we look at different components of a bike, if we want to start absorbing shocks, to sort of those three things. Now, if you look at a frame, there's been a lot of discussions over the years about the differences between, you could say like a titanium frame or a steel frame or a carbon frame, which one is better from a vibration perspective. And there's always the argument on the frame side that people look at the difference between what's called high modulus and low modulus carbon fiber. High modulus is going to be stiffer. It's going to be more rigid. Low modulus is going to be lower rigidity, and it's going to flex more. Now, any good bike company that is doing anything, even from a wheel perspective, we look at a combination of a few things when we look at laying up the carbon fiber. A, you want to pick the proper modulus fibers for the area. So look at it from a bike perspective. That's always easier to understand. Your bottom bracket area is going to have a lot of high modulus carbon fiber. The layup structure is going to be there to basically to prevent any movement. You want a very stiff bottom bracket so that when you put force into the pedals, your bottom bracket is not like swimming back and forth or flexing. So you want a very high modulus section there from a carbon fiber perspective, because you want it to be very rigid. You don't want any flexing. Now, when you look at the front fork or you look at the rear triangle, you're going to have an inclusion of more low modulus carbon fiber in that area because you want sort of that vibration management in that area. You can also look at tube shape. Tube shape is an element of it. But what you don't get is you don't get a sort of a natural spring, like a coil spring or a leaf spring, when you have sort of a frame. Now, there are still ways you can look at it from like the frame can flex from a beam perspective, which could be considered spring-ish, but it's not like a traditional spring. And because of the rigidity and because of the limitations that you get with carbon fiber, you can reduce vibration there, but it is not the best option for you to reduce vibration. There are certain things. I know Lauf has come out with a very cool front fork, which is technically a spring, so that would be or a shock, so that would be in that category. And then you can look at other things like sort of rubbers and things that absorb vibration. Those are more dampening, and so those could be considered as well. As you get to the wheel, we talked about this before, but we have in many episodes the concept of a leaf spring in the wheel because of the sidewalls of the carbon fiber. The sidewalls in the rim, if you cut it, you create an actual spring, which is called a leaf spring. And so that helps definitely absorb the vibration and manage the shocks. But as soon as we get down to the tire, that's where we get the most bang for our buck. The way a tire is designed with its carcass, it has a different combination of materials that is on the inside. We have different rubbers. All of those things go into play when you're designing a tire. When you think about the introduction of pneumatic tires years and years and years ago, especially from a car perspective, one of the main benefits of them was what they gave a very smooth quality ride because of their ability to absorb vibration. So setting the right tire pressure, selecting the right tire, and all those different things is one of the best things that you can do to manage vibration. Obviously, when you go from a road bike to a gravel bike, you do see that you go up in tire size. One of those reasons is because of the terrain, but another reason is because it does absorb vibration better. So one thing to consider when you're selecting your tire pressure is to be able to select the right tire pressure. I've talked about it before. It is the idea of sort of the Goldilocks effect and the three bears of tire pressure. When it's too low, you have a tire that does not have enough tire pressure to have enough casing tension. What do you get? You get a deformed sidewall on the sides. You get premature tire wear. Heat builds up in the side as you go through that section because of the amount of friction that happens. And you have a deformed contact patch on the bottom, which leads to a whole number of issues. You can get rim strikes, especially in the gravel world, and that causes a whole list of issues. When your tire pressure is too high, as we've discussed, you get a very small contact patch, you lose grip because you start to bounce, you lose watch, you lose energy, and you get uneven tire wear because the actual intended contact patch is not there. And so you sort of ride on this high spot, which gives you a number of issues from a wear perspective on the tire. Now, when your tire pressure is set correctly to your weight, to your terrain, you get sort of the middle ground, which is the just right from the Goldilocks and the Three Bears idea, where you get a good spring coefficient that is absorbing, not bouncing. You get enough tire pressure in the tire itself to support the load of the rider, so you're not getting deformed tire sides and premature tire wear. And you get a great contact patch, which is going to give you great grip and great handling without bouncing down the road. So when you get it all right, you can actually absorb a lot of vibration, and the tire itself, because of the pneumatic concept, is actually acting as an air spring. When you look at a shock on a bike, you have oil springs, you have air springs, you have coil springs. Air itself is a fluid. It's a gas. And when it's contained, it actually compresses very well and has a very spring-like quality to it. Spring air, compressed air, or air in a contained area, not compressed air, has a spring coefficient to it. So you get a lot of benefits out of properly managing all that. It's no different than a shock on a bike. Like, you can have air springs, like I said, and so that shock that is on the front fork is essentially in your wheels. Now, it's not as big. You got to think of shocks themselves as you have two springs. Let's say you have two coil springs beside each other. Let's say they're the same, you know, size and weight, but the diameter of the metal that is making the spring is larger. Then you're going to have a higher spring coefficient, so it can absorb more. If you have a very, very thin spring, the load that is going to be on it is going to be a lot smaller. So from a bike perspective, you can tune a shock on a bike to your weight. Depending on the type of spring, those are things that you can do from a setting perspective. And it's no different when you're managing the tire pressure in a wheel. So if you are a gravel cyclist and you are concerned about the terrain, tire selection, getting the right size tire, getting the right tire pressure is definitely a way for you to help manage the terrain. And as we've talked about at length as well, the idea of handling yourself or bike handling skills on the bike are also vitally important. If you have the right tires and you have the right tire pressure and you still find yourself struggling on the terrain, go out and check out a bike handling course. We had a guy on the podcast a while ago, Lee McCormick. We've written a blog as well to discuss that content. And like he said in the podcast, if you're a skier, it's like being on a powder day every day when you know how to handle the bike. Everything is fun. Everything is enjoyable versus, rock skiing, which is no fun for anybody. So get out there and make sure you have those bike handling skills when you get your everything set up, and managing that right tire pressure is going to allow you to absorb the bumps on a bike that has no shocks. But technically we do have shocks because we know now that you can have shocks in tires. With the proper tire management and shock absorption from those tires, it definitely improves your ability to handle the bike. So from a watt point perspective, we're going to go at about 10 watts because you're going to be able to more efficiently manage the bike and keep it on the ground and absorb things out on the gravel terrain and lower that rolling resistance. If you have questions or comments about this article, episode, I'd definitely love to hear them and chat with you. Everybody stay safe out there, set your tire pressures right, absorb those vibrations, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Faster. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it. Leave a review or teach a friend what you learned today. For more great episodes on getting faster, subscribe to this podcast. While you're on your next ride, be kind to one another and ride safe.